Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the World Cricket Show, the world's favourite cricket show, with me, Adam Bayfield, and to a lesser extent, Tony Kerr.
Hey.
How's it going, Tone?
Yeah, good, thanks.
You calmed down, you were very, very angry just a minute ago about NFTs.
I'd say I'm angry, I'm just bewildered.
Non-fungible tokens. You've always been a big fan of fungible tokens, but the non-fungible, you're fuming about.
I'm a fungible guy. I was just reading to you the big announcement, the big news out of cricket today. The ICC introducing their NFT fan experience. I mean, it's just a load of nonsense, is it not? I don't know. I'm willing to be... I must actually just thinking back. We're like, Crickviz, nonsense. NFTs, nonsense. It's like, I do quite like technology and knowledge, but you wouldn't know it.
Yeah. Just, welcome... to the World Cricket Show, a podcast by two dinosaurs who hate change, technology, and anything kind of modern and dynamic.
Yeah. And I think basically anything that's come since podcasts, really.
Yeah. And to be honest, any podcast that started since 2008 is...
bandwagon jumpers,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, just a bunch of posers, really. if you haven't been here since the start, I'm looking at you... I'm looking at you, Louis Theroux. Acaster, what's he doing?
But anyway,
Dan Snow's history here. It's ridiculous.
It's too much.
Do it in 2008 or not at all.
We should have pulled up the ladder afterwards behind us.
Yeah. Well, it's good to be here on this podcast. We've got a lot of cricket to talk about, Tone. I've just got one thing to say to you. Live the game, love the game. Is it live the game, love the game, or love the game, live the game?
Live the game, love the game.
It's exactly that. Yeah. Live the game, love the game.
I mean, it's a banger. It is a banger, I have to say. I just look at some Twitter reaction to the song, the theme song. There was one that really made me laugh. It's basically along the lines of like, we won't appreciate it now, but in 15, 20 years, we'll be talking about it. It'll be a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely...
the game, love the game.
That's definitely how we feel about the game of love and unity from the 2007 World Cup. Everyone remembers that. Still hums it in the shower, I'm sure.
Go on, just give us a quick blast.
It's the game of love and unity. Did it, did it, did it, did it, did it, did it, did it. Did you remember that?
It's a classic.
One thing I found quite weird, I mean, there's a lot to say about the DJ and ground announcers in this tournament. But one thing I found quite weird was during the England game against Sri Lanka the other night that they were playing Football's Coming Home. it kept coming on every wicket, and then when they won at the end, it was everyone's on their feet singing Football's Coming Home. It's like, I've slightly missed the mark there.
It needs a strong theme tune, and it is everywhere. So I think on that alone, the tournament is delivering big time.
Anyway, well, I don't know if this is... I assume this is like a thing for the tournament rather than just something on Sky, but I don't necessarily think much of the song, but I do like the little animations that accompany it.
No, I think that's presumably sort of tournament-wide or host broadcaster or whatever.
Yeah.
ICC. Yeah.
I think so.
Well, the little kind of superhero figurine kind of people.
Yeah, there's like one from each of the sort of key players or key moments from the winning teams of each of the previous editions. It's like Peterson and Gale and Brathwaite. And yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's quite cool. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it, Tone. Oh, live the game, love the game is what I'm saying. But yeah, no, we've got lots to talk about tonight. Lots of T20 World Cup chat to get through. We're going to try and do this fairly briskly, I think. Going to try and keep it to a tight 30, just so as not to bore everybody. But we're going to come back with much more forensic detail next week, probably post to pre-semis or, well, we can, let's have this discussion offline, Tim. As you say, yeah. Get your diary out. Is this going
to
be?
It's on free Thursday.
We're off to a good start with my plan of not boring anybody and keeping this to a tight 30. Actually, Tuesday at 4, I've got
Remember the dentist on Thursday at 2, but I could probably squeeze it in.
Oh, no, that's Wednesday, actually. That's Wednesday. Anyway, right. T20 World Cup.
Hit me.
It's all happening, Tone, isn't it? So we're recording this on Wednesday lunchtime. New Zealand have literally just in the last few minutes completed victory over Scotland. Just turn around to look at the TV. Virat Kohli is talking Afghanistan and have won the toss and chosen to field in the game between India and Afghanistan. So obviously by the time people are hearing this, that game will have happened, possibly one or two others as
well. And depends how long our tight 30 goes on for. We might know what happens as well.
So at this stage, as we're recording, England are top of Group 1 of the Super 12s with 4 wins from 4. Pakistan are top of Group 2 with 4 wins from 4. We'll get into this a bit more, but you know, clearly the two most impressive sides so far. As it stands right now, South Africa and Afghanistan are the other two teams going through. But there's still all to play for in both groups. South Africa are in the mix with Australia and the West Indies, who have both got a game in hand. Afghanistan are in second place in Group 2, but New Zealand and India can still both qualify as well. So lots to talk about. We'll obviously talk about England, talk about India, talk about Pakistan, probably talk about Afghanistan, probably talk about West Indies. I mean, yeah, this tight 30 is going well, isn't it? But just as, you know, sort of zooming out a bit, big picture, first of all, Tone, how have you found it so far? How have you found the T20 World Cup so far?
I think it's been all right. Yeah, I mean, my first takeaway is that it's on at awful times. It really is. Slap bang the middle of the day, but not over lunchtime, pretty much. It's like, it couldn't be a worse place. But
well, now the clocks have gone back. I've got a lot to say about the clocks at the end. But now the clocks have gone back. It's, what, 10 a.m. start, which generally is usually wrapped up just before lunch.
Yeah.
And then a 2 p.m. start wrapped up before you get home after work.
So on that front, not ideal in terms of sort of watching live stuff.
So who are you blaming for that?
I don't know.
Greenwich?
I honestly don't know. How far back do we want to go?
Yeah. John Harrison. who's to blame for this then? God.
Yeah. Look, that's not worked out. That's, you know, the dice haven't run in our favour there. I think overall, you know, there's been some good crowds. There's been some fairly low-key crowds as well. The action, I think, has been decent. I don't know. There's been a few things. It's probably got better in the last few days in terms of the sort of big moments. So I don't know. It hasn't quite taken off yet, I don't think. Although there have been some very enjoyable matches and some enjoyable or some sort of standout results, haven't there? Obviously, you know, Pakistan beating India so comprehensively was quite stunning. That was a fantastic atmosphere, and obviously, you know, the significance of that result was really special. We've seen a couple of the teams coming through, or if we go back to the preliminary stage, the qualifier, whatever it's called. We see some good performances or a couple of notable performances there to enjoy. So it's had a bit of everything. I don't know. I feel like it's probably got a few more gears to go through, though.
Mm. Yeah, it's been a mixed bag, really, hasn't it? It's as you say, there's stuff to enjoy, perhaps stuff to not enjoy. There's not been many kind of super close games yet, as you say. Possibly in the last couple of days, that's started to get a bit better. England Sri Lanka was really good. When was that? Day before yesterday. Was it Tuesday or was it was it Monday?
No, sorry, I was at the co-op.
I don't know whether there's like particular reasons for that, or whether it's just coincidence, but there just hasn't been that many exciting matches so far.
And I guess as well, you know, for good or for bad, the fact that sort of West Indies were tanked so badly by England in the first game, and we'll come on to that, I'm sure. You know, they've obviously been pretty poor and pretty underwhelming so far. And likewise, India have been demolished in both matches, where they might have been more exciting. You know, had as expected, they offered a little bit more.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think, some of the teams we had kind of high hopes for, the highest hopes for, both in terms of like the quality of the cricket and their chances of winning the tournament, but also in terms of like the excitement levels and, you know, the sort of players we're most excited about watching. They just haven't, it hasn't really happened for them. So your Gales and your Russells and your Pollards and your Hetmyers for the West Indies, you know, it's just not happening. And likewise for India, Rohit and KL Rahul, you know, it hasn't come off. So, you know, that's obviously been a bit of a disappointment. I mean, let's be honest as well, this isn't a great venue for a global tournament. Yeah, obviously the time zone thing for us is a bit of a pain, although on the weekend it's good. It's, you know, it's better for us than if it's in Australia and it's all happening in the middle of the night. But, you know, it's obviously, it was never meant to be here. It was going to be in India and it's been moved here for pandemic reasons. So there's probably no point being sort of too critical of it. It's just a... It wasn't planned, but the pitches have been kind of sluggish, which has made for generally low totals. I mean, so normally in T20 you'd be expecting sort of 170, 180 to be about par, but it's been, you know, generally teams batting first have been posting sort of 130, 140, 150 tops. We've talked about many times that, you know, low scoring matches are often the best, but these haven't been the right kind of low scoring matches, if you know what I mean. It's not always been because the bowling's been sort of thrilling. It's just been that, you know, the batsmen have found it hard to kind of middle it, and then they've just been nerdling it around, and it's not been the kind of high octane stuff all the time that we've been used to seeing, you know, balls flying off the bat, etc. And then, as you mentioned, fairly kind of sparse crowds a lot of the time, except when India and Pakistan are playing, and it, in these kind of like cold, I mean not literally, but sort of cold, empty kind of white elephant stadiums in the middle of the desert, it doesn't feel like a World Cup when you turn on the TV. Do you know what I mean?
It feels a bit low key for sure.
But what I would say, I don't want to be too negative about it, because I have been really enjoying it. I've been enjoying having it on. As we talked about on the preview, it's a long time since we've had a global cricket tournament, and I was very excited about it. And while it's not been, you know, it hasn't sort of totally delivered, you know, with everything we might have hoped for so far, I have been enjoying it. I've been watching the highlights every night. I'm really...
Been doing your homework.
Yeah, I'm really having fun watching it. And, you know, and something to say as well is it's not finished yet, and ultimately all anyone will remember of the tournament is probably just the final, maybe the semi-finals as well. We certainly talked about, you know, during the 2019 50 over World Cup, not everyone agrees with this, but for me anyway, I think for both of us, that tournament wasn't that great until the knockouts. But now people would be like, well, that's one of the all-time great, because the final was so good. Yeah. that's all that matters in the end. So if we end up with a grandstand finish to this tournament, all of this stuff, you know, all of these games leading up to it won't be remembered. So yeah, I am enjoying it. It's not been an all-time classic so far, but there's still time.
No, and I think I need to sort of remind myself and learn the lessons of past as an England supporter, just like finding ways not to enjoy England absolutely smashing it and, you know, maybe going on to win. I don't know, we'll see. But there's definitely been times in the past where England have been really good, and I've just like sort of thought myself out of actually enjoying it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. There's a weird sort of still find it hard in any sport really, yeah, to kind of come to terms with England being good.
Yeah. Or now you're just going, oh, boring. It's just, yeah, it's not close enough.
It's really hard.
It's not like competitive.
In my mentality is just like, you know, just well, so baked into assuming England are horrendous. And then, you know, if they can nick a win here and there, really enjoying that. But when they just win comfortably, it's like, it just feels a bit flat.
You're just annoyed. Well, let's talk about England. I mean, yeah, have you been surprised by how good they've been? So they've won 4 out of 4 so far, crushed West Indies in that opening game, won easily against Bangladesh, crushed Australia in the third game, much closer against Sri Lanka, but still, that was the first time that they'd had to bat first, but they... You know, and we're in a tight spot at one point, but turned it around with that unbeaten century from Joss Butler. And then Sri Lanka were going well in the run chase, but then England took, what, 5 wickets in about 10 or 11 balls at the end to ultimately win the game. On the preview show, Tone, you said, you know, I don't want to sort of, don't want to put you on the spot here, but for the benefit of the tape, You said you thought England were some way down the list of favourites. I think you used the word creaking. I can play it back for you now, Tony.
Did I? You said creaking.
Yeah. And that, you know, that you basically that you didn't think they had were going to win the tournament. And they might not win the tournament, but yeah, have you...
That doesn't sound like something I'd say.
I think they've undoubtedly been the standout team so far.
Yeah, no, I think everyone knew they were going to be one of the favourites. have I been surprised? Slightly, I guess. I mean, look, we know... Well, we said... We both predicted England would be in the semi-finals.
Yes, we did. I predicted England would win the tournament.
Yeah.
Now, they haven't done that yet, but I'm still quite... I'm still smug.
You're already cashing in a bit. Yeah, cashing in a bit of that.
Yeah.
So... No, I'm not surprised. I'm pleasantly surprised, but not surprised, if that makes sense.
No, it doesn't, but okay.
Yeah, anyway, move on.
Yeah.
I suppose part of what's making England look so good, and to be fair, they've demolished West Indies and demolished Australia. Part of what's making them look so good is I think that if India had been doing much better on the other side of the draw, then maybe, you know, you'd be like, oh, the expected sides would be there. I mean, England and Pakistan have been by far the best sides in the tournament so far. I wonder, you know, obviously Butler has been exceptional and his innings against Sri Lanka was ridiculous. His hitting is ludicrous. And, you know, England have probably got possibly the best batsman in the world on form right there. Is he in the batting stakes carrying England a little bit, or has he carried them a little bit so far? Possibly. Yeah, just in the way it runs. Obviously, he's been the one doing it. You know, we haven't seen an awful lot else. I mean, okay, Roy's scored a few runs. Morgan got 40, didn't he? Now, obviously, they didn't need to score many runs to beat West Indies.
Yeah, I think a carried might not be the right word.
No, exactly. So it's slightly strong, I think. On the bowling side, England, you know, across the board, been pretty brilliant as well. So yeah, things are clearly going very well for England. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens when they come up against. Obviously, they're going to get through to the semi-finals now. In those clutch moments at the end of the tournament, it'd be interesting to see how it pans out. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, clearly they've done. They look very good. So I'm just. Again, I'm trying to sort of undo our own positivity.
There's a, you know, you can sort of get too tangled up in trying to find weaknesses or vulnerabilities where they don't exist, but there is a danger that they become victims of their own dominance in a sense, because I don't think Butler has carried the batting, but what has been the case is that they just haven't needed to bat very much. So, you know, they bowled West Indies and Australia out for less than 100, or Australia for 110. So, and Bangladesh for what, 120 odd? You know, there's guys in the middle order who haven't had to bat at all yet. I mean, Livingston and Moeen, well, Moeen came in right at the end, didn't he, the other day? But, you know, I don't think Livingston's had a hit yet. But Butler hasn't carried them in. So the other batsmen haven't, it's not that the other batsmen have been failing, it's just they haven't been needed. Yeah. You know, Roy and Milan batted well against Bangladesh, but otherwise no one else has really been needed
quite. And I guess the point that I was trying to get at maybe is that, you know, there was some uncertainty about the form of England's batting going into it, and we haven't really seen them tested or utilized yet. So
sure,
there is a bit of uncertainty remaining there. Now it might be that, you know, because on the plus side, Morgan's captaincy has been excellent. The bowling's been excellent. The fielding's been astonishing.
And Butler's been
ridiculous.
It's not a problem that Butler's been so good. But there is a danger that they could find themselves in a final, lose a couple of early wickets. You know, Butler gets a good ball, or, you know, just makes a mistake in that moment. And suddenly you're thinking, okay, we're depending now on some guys who haven't had to bat at all. And, you know, have got... sort of coming in for their more or less their first hit of the tournament. So that is a possible danger. But then on the other hand, they might not be needed at all.
Yeah.
If Butler and Roy, you know, continue with the form that they've shown so far. So we will see. I think I would say I've been a bit surprised by this kind of scale of their dominance so far. I would have been very surprised if they hadn't got out of this group. And, you know, for me, they were always second favourites for this tournament after India, who we're going to talk about, have obviously been incredibly disappointing. They're clearly, for me, they are the best white ball team in the world across the two formats and have been for 5 or 6 years. And what's, you know, what's kind of notable now compared to some of the other teams is that they're such an experienced group. They've been around a long time. They know each other really well. They all know their roles, you know, each kind of, it's very kind of clearly defined what each individual is there for, and they know what they're supposed to do. And if you contrast that with a team like Australia, where they haven't played together very much, and they're sort of now trying to work out what their best batting order is and stuff. And it's, yeah, and actually, ironically, and we talked about this on the preview, the absence of Stokes maybe helps in this regard. Like, if Stokes was there, it would open some questions about the best way of arranging that batting lineup and the best way to balance the team. But, you know, it's a strange thing to say that the absence of Stokes is a boost, but it has simplified things, and it's made their first choice team pretty straightforward. So that experience is a huge asset and is really showing so far. That we would have thought that the batting is massively England's strength, isn't it? But as we say, they haven't really been required that much so far because the bowlers have been so brilliant. And I think that's where you'd say they have been better. They have been more impressive than we were probably expecting. You know, I did think, have England got the bowlers really to win this tournament? They're missing Archer. I mean, Wood's now injured. They're missing, so they're missing, and Stokes, you know, they're missing kind of frontline first choice bowlers here. And I would have looked at that and thought, well, is Chris Wokes necessarily the guy you want kind of leading the attack in these conditions? But he's been absolutely sensational. I saw a stat that he's conceded before the Sri Lanka game. He conceded a couple there. But before that, he'd conceded something like 4 boundaries in T20 internationals since 2015, which he hasn't played that much since 2015. But nonetheless, it's a fairly remarkable thing.
No, you're right. And the fact that Archer, who many people would perceive as the best, you know, the best T20 bowler in the world.
Yeah.
Or fast certainly, bowler. Yeah, exactly. One of the finest T20 assets. Yeah, it has been exceptionally impressive. And, you know, you've got Livingston as well, who's bowled 11 overs and done very well, taken a few wickets and not gone for many.
Great stat that he's taken more wickets in this tournament than India.
Good, very good stat. No, I agree with you. The bowling has been a pleasant surprise, and just the whole picture just looks very rosy, doesn't it? They are clearly buoyant. Some of the fielding has been phenomenal. They don't seem to be putting any feet wrong anywhere, and led exceptionally well by Morgan. So, no, it's happy days, really.
Yeah, the fielding's been outstanding. They have dropped one catch, haven't they? Because Wokes dropped one. But it just seems like everything. You don't expect them to drop anything. They just seem to catch everything. And there have been some outstanding catches in there as well, including that Roy Billings boundary effort the other day. Actually, one of my favourite moments of the tournament so far was Joss Butler's run out towards the end of the Sri Lanka game. And that was kind of where the game was over at that point, wasn't it? That was like the moment where you're like, okay, England are definitely going to win this now. But for anyone who didn't see it, I actually can't remember who the batsman was. Was it Hasaranga? Anyway, the Sri Lankan batsman chopped a cut very fine, which Butler, as the wicketkeeper, was able to move to his right and get to. And like, it sort of chopped it into the ground. It bounced up. Butler moved round, picked it up. And the batsman had sort of set off thinking, oh, there must be a run there. Turned around and Butler took off his wicketkeeper glove as he picked up the ball and then just hurled it at the stumps. And the stumps just kind of exploded.
Yeah,
didn't it?
You're right.
Aesthetically, it was great. Yeah, and then
he just beamed.
Yeah, right. Raised both arms in triumph. And it was a very satisfying moment as a fan, but it was also just like a kind of beautiful cricket moment to watch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. His innings against Sri Lanka, it's almost a perfect T20 innings. And just his hitting, the way he just opens his body, but it doesn't sort of matter. It's almost like, I don't know, the ball comes off way cleaner than his body shape would suggest. Mm. It's like, it doesn't look like he's putting that much effort into it. It's so effortless. And it, you know, sort of clears his front leg. And then he's hitting down the ground. The ball just disappears.
I would not want to bowl to Joss Butler, I have to say. It's not many international batsmen that I would want to bowl to, but you know that thing of just how demoralising it is to get hit for a six.
Yeah.
But just thinking, like, how many balls could I bowl? If I bowled a 4-over spell at Joss Butler, how many balls would not go for six, do you think? Any?
I don't know. I think it's that with me, it would be a danger that yeah. there wouldn't be any completed balls, yeah, exactly. so he wouldn't actually be able to get bat and ball. So many wide Yorkers.
That... Yeah, my tactic would be to ball so many wides that...
that you just take it off.
Yeah, exactly.
And a better bowler finishes the over.
Or it just gets dark.
Yeah. So that's really, you know, it's awesome that... Because it's obviously a big moment, as you know, scoring a century in cricket. Mm. It's a big milestone. That performance, you know, it's exciting that you've got a player performing at that level for England, because in the next couple of games, and then when we get to the when we get to the knockout or the semi-final, hopefully final, that's the kind of box office that's gonna get people sort of outside of cricket excited. Mm-hmm. You know, you want someone to sort of pin it on.
So. Yeah, he's thrilling to watch, isn't he? There's a danger, I suppose, of getting carried away. We're only four games in. And the thing about any tournament sport, and certainly tournament cricket and T20 cricket in particular, is that anything can happen in the knockouts, and, you know, they could easily lose a one-off game, couldn't they? So they could turn up in a semi-final against New Zealand or someone and lose. You know, it's they just have a slight off day, or the opposition pulls out something remarkable from one or two individuals. So this is definitely not a done deal that they'll get to the final. And then, as you say, Pakistan have been very good as well. So, yeah, there's a long way to go. Still a lot of cricket still to be played. But I think, you know, as England fans, we sat here sort of, possibly a little bit pleasantly surprised, but very kind of pleased, very satisfied with how they've played in this tournament. And it feels kind of vindicating as a fan, which is, I think, retrospectively, is kind of how I felt about the 2019 World Cup win. At the time, it didn't feel like it because that was such a remarkable final, such a remarkable game of cricket and everything, and it sort of caught up in the heat of that moment. But it would have actually been disappointing if England hadn't won that tournament. Or to put it another way, it was kind of a relief that they won the tournament, because they had been the best team in the world by far for the 4 years before that. And it was like the cycle going into it and everything, all building up to that moment. And it felt like it was destiny in a way for them to win it. And it's not been quite like that in T20s, and their form hasn't been quite as good in the last couple of years. And coming into this, we did think maybe they're not the out-and-out favourites. But they've, as I say, they've definitely... The white ball cricket they've played over the last 6 years, it's not outrageous to think that they almost should be the 50-over and T20 World Cup champions. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I agree.
They may not win this, but it's nice that they are at least sort of showing how good they are on the world stage, if you know what I mean.
Completely agree.
What's happened to India, Tone? We've kind of touched on this. 10-wicket defeat to Pakistan in the first game. They've only played one other game as we're recording this. Well, they're just about to start in the game against Afghanistan, but they also...
It's kind of mad that they've only played two and other teams have played four.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, they're going to get to three very soon, but...
but, yeah, they're not quite out, but it would take something fairly remarkable from here for them to go through, and it's not in their hands, is it?
Well, yeah. I mean, they got absolutely wiped by Pakistan in the end, didn't they? In terms of, obviously, you know, they put on a competitive score, and the chase from Rizwan and Babar Azam was just immaculate. There's been a lot of chat, isn't there, about whether India's players are fatigued, whether it's come straight off the back of the conclusion of the IPL, which was delayed from earlier in the year. Some people suggesting actually it's the fact that, you know, the IPL, I think Tim Wigmore tweeted about the number of games, or wrote an article about the number of games that India's players have played in T20s versus England, for example, and it's many fewer, given that they really only play for India or in the IPL. So that's possibly a factor. Are they being captained as well as the sides that are outstanding so far? I don't know. Yeah, it's got to go down as one of the biggest. Well, there's still a journey to go here, isn't there? Still, but as it stands, it's one of the biggest flops in cricket history, is it not?
Mm.
I mean, regardless of whether they haven't quite played enough T20 cricket around the world, you know, these are conditions that they'll feel at home at. On or playing in,
just
these conditions, playing around these conditions.
The right preposition there. The conditions they feel at home by.
Yeah,
they feel at home beside.
So you know, you think it's all there. Yeah, they've got the players, they've got the experience.
and they should now, fit at home down these conditions.
Again, it's only two games, isn't it? And you know, clearly India-Pakistan is a, you know, it's a titanic contest.
And it's like a vacuum.
And then against New Zealand, it was, that's probably the one, is that that it was so flat and the chase was so straightforward in the end for New Zealand.
Yeah, and to defend injury a little bit, you know, Pakistan have been incredibly good in this tournament against everybody, and New Zealand are an exceptionally good team. So India could well win their remaining three games here and narrowly miss out, or possibly still go through, and it might not seem quite such a flop. It's an interesting point, the Tim Wigmore one, about, you know, they don't play much cricket outside the IPL. And we talked about this a little bit on the preview, that, you know, to some extent this is like a battle between franchise leagues as well. You know, and is the IPL
and it won't be good for the IPL, will it?
So the IPL is kind of held up as the pinnacle in terms of franchise cricket, but India never win the T20 World Cup, and, you know, again, it looks like they're not going to win this one either. So can it really be considered the pinnacle, therefore? And yeah, they don't play cricket anywhere else. But there's a kind of tension here, because on the one hand, I think that's a good point, that they don't play enough T20 cricket. But on the other hand, a lot of people also making the point that they're burnt out, they're knackered, they've played too much cricket, they've just come into this off the back of the IPL. So I don't know. So that, but those two things don't seem to quite square, you know. So I don't know which it is. If it's that they've played too much cricket, you would think that the England and Australia players, who've also been playing IPL and been playing lots of other franchise leagues and international cricket, that they ought to be knackered too. So I don't know. Does that help?
Well, I think it's too early to, you know, to be too, what's the word? It's too early to make too many, you know, wide-ranging assumptions, I think. Yeah. You know, after two games, hey, they could still win it. I mean, it's an outside bet now, but they're not out of it, playing Afghanistan as we speak right now. And as you said before, Pakistan are exceptional, and it's just a hugely enjoyable team to watch. Mm. Some great players. I mean, Babrizam and Rizwan is, you know, that partnership was just delightful, and, you know, absolutely exceptional players to watch. Tough to think of a bowler who's as enjoyable to watch at the moment as Shaheen Afridi. Mm. And the results he's getting as well, you know, it's there to match. So yeah, and then New Zealand as well, yeah, 50 over finalists just a couple of years ago. You know, all of their cricket seems to be, you know, at the top level at the moment, or close to it. So you know, if New Zealand do finish second and England end up playing them in the semi-final, that's going to be a cracking contest.
Yeah, and I do hope,
and obviously they'll have a massive grudge to settle.
I hope that it's an England-Pakistan final, I have to say, because that is quite a tantalising prospect, actually, isn't it? It's like both teams really at the top of their game. And yeah, to see Shaheen Afridi bowl to Joss Butler, to see kind of Morgan manipulating his bowler, the sort of tactics, or who would he open the bowling with against Babar Azam and Rizwan? That would be a pretty blockbuster final. Just one thing very finally on India. You know, I think it is too early to do a kind of root and branch review, but you can understand why people are beginning to ask those questions, because this isn't an isolated incident, is it? This is a decade now of underperforming in global tournaments. You know, since they won the 50 over World Cup in 2011, every tournament pretty much has been a disappointment, and they've come into it as favourites and not really delivered. And you know, and given all of their advantages and the outstanding team they have on paper, and how well they play and how successful they are in between global tournaments, I think I could understand why their fans are quite frustrated. And it could be sort of fairly sort of simple or proximate things, like they've tactically made some very strange decisions, like Ishan Kishan to open the other night, sort of moving Rohit down. But there could be something more systemic underpinning it, like whether it's that they don't play enough T20 cricket around the world. But those questions, assuming that they don't win this tournament from here, I think it probably is time for those questions to be asked in a more kind of serious way.
Yeah, it's either going to be the greatest flop or the greatest comeback in cricket history.
It's Ed Harris, this could be our finest hour. Is that what you're saying? So just quickly to mention a couple of other things, Tone. Yeah, we're watching, while recording, we're watching Afghanistan, India. Afghanistan have been great to watch so far, and they could get to the semis, which would be a fairly remarkable story. Afghanistan, New Zealand, is a, you know, could be almost a quarter final. On the preview, we said that whatever happens, they'll be fun to watch, and they have been. It's what we didn't say on the preview, and you don't want to always go on about this when Afghanistan, when you talk about Afghanistan, but it is still worth reflecting on the fact. I was thinking about this when I was editing that, like, because we didn't mention the fact that it is just remarkable that Afghanistan. It's remarkable that Afghanistan are one of the. An automatic Super 12 qualifier. They're in the top eight nations in the world. And it's remarkable that it isn't remarkable. Do you know what I mean? That's just like sort of expected now. It's not a surprise that that's the case, that they're in there above Sri Lanka and Bangladesh and so on. And you hope that that's just going to continue and will keep growing and they'll get better and better. Given current circumstances in that country, you wonder what the long-term picture looks like now. But yeah, it's such a credit to those players, but it's an astonishing story, really, isn't it? And just every so often, I think it is worth just saying, hang on a minute, this didn't used to be the case.
Yeah, it's not longer they didn't, they were just existing at the very bottom levels of international cricket, and as you say, two wins out of three so far. Yeah, playing against India now in a crunch game that India wouldn't have been looking forward to.
No, they've got a real chance of winning this.
Yeah, so yeah, no, I think you're right to flag it up. But yeah, who knows where they go from here? That's the only thing, isn't it?
Having just absolutely ripped into you, kind of humiliated you for the fact that you wrote England off. You said they had absolutely no chance on the preview. One thing you did say to just give you a little bit of credit is I gave Namibia no chance of getting through the group. I didn't even really mention them. And you said, hold on a minute. I was saying, you know, it'll definitely be Netherlands or Ireland. And you said, hang on a minute, Namibia.
Yeah. Did I say Netherlands would go through, though? I think I might have done. Yeah. And they got absolutely panned.
You said Netherlands and Ireland would go through. You said Namibia wouldn't go through. Netherlands didn't have a great tournament. We wrote off both Namibia and Sri Lanka.
Yeah, I have to say, Sri Lanka, that's good. You know, it's good to see Sri Lanka, you know, obviously they won 3 from 3 in Group A. They gave England their biggest test as yet. So that's good to see. That is good to see.
Yeah, they gave England their biggest test. Could very easily have beaten South Africa as well. So they've been a bit unfortunate. They have been involved in a couple of very close games, and that they could have been in the conversation to go through here if a couple of things had gone differently. So that, I mean, Hasaranga's had a great tournament, hasn't he? And a couple of their batsmen as well. It's nice to see that there are a handful of names starting to appear attached to Sri Lanka. So perhaps the future for them looks a little bit rosier, at least in this format, than we maybe thought. So you predicted, what did we predict? You predicted
that, well, I put my neck out and said that I thought England.
You had India v West Indies in the final.
I really went brave and said England, West Indies, Pakistan and India to reach the semi-finals. So two of those have flopped so far, so we'll see how it pans out.
I had England, India, West Indies and New Zealand, so I didn't have Pakistan.
So we're both equally wrong. We're really, both in different ways.
We're both equally wrong and equally right.
Yeah. But between us, we absolutely nailed it.
I mean, it's looking like the semis will be England, Pakistan, and then potentially South Africa and New Zealand. It's probably dangerous to say this because by the time people are hearing it, they'll probably know. But whatever it ends up being, assuming that India don't come through, Australia have got a tall order as well. You know, it would be kind of refreshing. Yeah, obviously England are one of these, but if two of the big three aren't there, because if it is the case that the T20 World Cup produces or has produced kind of greater variety of winners than the 50 over World Cup. So it's 25 years since a team outside of the big three won the 50 over World Cup.
I mean, obviously that's partly because Australia.
That's because Australia was so dominant.
Ran away with it for years.
India and England have won it once each in that time, and otherwise Australia. But nonetheless, you've got to go back to 1996 for someone else. Whereas the T20 World Cup, obviously, West Indies have won it twice and Sri Lanka have won it and Pakistan have won it. So, obviously, England may well win it again. And as fans, we kind of hope that is the case. But there's a very good chance that it will be someone else, which, you know, would probably be better from a sort of health of cricket point of view. So, all in all, bit of a mixed bag, but lots to enjoy. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's a fair summary. Bit of work to do. Good if a few more people turned up for the closing stages. Yeah, let's see how it pans out.
Okay.
Let's see how it pans out. Right, well, let's do this again in a week or two.
Right, get your Filofax out. Let's have a look at that diary. When are you free? Yeah, because we will come back at some point, either before the semis
or after
the final, or both, to talk in a bit more detail, and we'll know a lot more. We'll have more knowledge by then, one way or another.
Knowledge is power.
But until then, that's going to be your lot for the World Cricket Show this time. Have you enjoyed this one, Tony? We didn't quite keep it to a tight 30, I don't think.
Tight 40?
It should be about a tight 40, yeah.
Job done.
I do like the concept of like a tight, or like a quick amount of time. like someone at work always sends me like, can we have a quick 30 minutes just to discuss this? Have you got a quick hour to...
Yeah, nothing about that is quick.
Yeah, it's like, do you just mean an hour? can we do a quick week in... do a quick week in Scotland?
I'll do a quick week.
Yeah. This has been a quick 40. We got through it though, didn't we?
Job done, I think.
Yeah. You've got a dash off, have you?
Yeah, well, I've got a few bits to do.
Yeah, me too. If you enjoy the World Cricket Show, get more involved on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Insta. You can send us an email as well, worldcricketshow@gmail.com. And if you do enjoy the show, then like, subscribe, leave a rating, and perhaps a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to this on. But that's it. That's going to be it, I think. Stay in school, everyone. And I'll see you soon, Tane.
Yeah, see you soon.
Bye bye for now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.